So, just so I'm clear, I haven't heard it stated one way or another. What happens if this gets held? Is that a problem?
Honestly, I don't know what new information you're going to receive. It's still gross versus net.
I agree with you based on everything I heard, but I haven't heard anyone ask that, but I have heard the suggestion of holding it. So I want to make sure someone at least asks this question.
I'm not sure what the freeze has to, when it has to be enacted.
The contract doesn't expire until October 31st. And then you automatically get a grace period.
So to answer that question, I don't see that the company, I told them we would be presenting this to council, that if we would freeze the rates for 3 years, that it would have a much better chance of passing. I don't recall, nor do I see on this, that they said that this offer is only good for X amount of time. I would be somewhat concerned though, because I don't know what else we can give. The rates are frozen. I apologize for the presentation. I probably should have anticipated that, but it's presentation. It's a matter of form over substance at this point. The substance of this is, if we approve this, our rates freeze for 3 years. And we did not have, sadly, we did not have a good loss ratio. It took a while to get there. It's one of the reasons this is coming in so late. So I do want to say, I hope that's not lost here. I'll forever regret the form used, the way I structured it, but the substance is we got to freeze for 3 years. We're not going to get that if we put this out to bid, because anyone that bids is going to ask, they have this information. How many people do you have? How old are they? And what were your losses over the last 3 to 5 years? We're going to share that with them. We're not going to get these rates for another 3 years.
So,
I'm sorry. I have more. My apologies. So what I've heard tonight, and please don't hesitate to correct me if I'm mistaken. And by the way, this sound system is better, Phil, even right here, distance to Mike. But Phil made the sound system better, in case people were wondering. What I've heard here tonight is, one, the change regarding gross to net, or net to gross, rather, was to move towards best practices. Granted, I also heard regarding the format and manner of presentation was not ideal, but it sounds like the administration agrees that they'll gladly do it differently next time around, which is great. So we don't have any miscommunication or misunderstanding. And it sounds like, by all accounts, that this represents a better deal than we would otherwise get. The only information that has been stated as potentially lacking that is not obtainable, at least on paper today, is the actual contract itself. But the administration has represented what those figures are in that regard. So I am unclear as to any purpose to hold it at this time, especially if it's only contingent on the contract. I mean, they've made the representations of what's in the contract, and they would know they negotiated it. So I'm not sure the whole way. It sounds like everything else has been addressed. If something hasn't been addressed, then absolutely please ask so we can get there. But otherwise, I'm not seeing a reason to hold.
You all set, Council President? Thank you. Councilman Napa.
Thank you. So I just want to be clear. I don't think that anyone on the floor tonight, I can only speak for myself, but I don't think, after hearing from my colleagues, anyone thinks you did a poor job negotiating the rate or getting the rate locked in. I think that's favorable. From my understanding, and now that I'm looking at Munis also, I think that what this boils down to is the city or your department coming to us and asking for spending authority that almost triples what was requested and approved in the budget. Now, I understand the net versus gross. However, since you yourself, well, actually, I think the finance director stated that we pay this out monthly, one of someone who spoke tonight and presented stated that. So we're only paying out, we should only be paying out, it looks as though in the Munis report that we're only paying out the net. Is that correct?
No.
The sun was in my head.
Paying out $123,111.
I'm not sure where you're looking in Munis. Are you in the account
inquiry? I'm looking at whatever Munis report we get presented every month.
Oh, so the printed report. Yeah, yep. So that amount that you see in there will be the net amount. Okay. So on the 15th and 30th, we get the payments from the pension. Weekly, we get from the active. So what you're seeing in the budget is the net.
Is the net. So perhaps to clear up this whole runaround confusion of net, gross, 130, 55, 57, if we approve as a body tonight the net spend, which was requested in the budget, it feels better for me, at least, and I assume some of my colleagues, that we're approving what we approved in the budget for spending authority. That shouldn't leave the city short on spending ability, because if we approve the net, you're only spending the net in actual numbers. And if moving to best practices next year, according to the purchasing department, is shifting to a gross calculation, then perhaps in next budget cycle, we make that whole correction all at the same time so that everything is on gross, so that we're not approving above what's been requested in the budget. I think that is what, for me at least, is the biggest sticking point, is that you're asking for spending authority above and beyond almost triple of which the budget approved. So I get that the dollars in and out make sense, but I think it's rather uncomfortable to say, okay, you have spending authority triple that of the budget that was approved, even though the back end accounting practices would reflect the net.
If you prefer to approve this as net, that works, as long as we're very clear about it. I will actually be the one who takes the blame that I don't think this should have been budgeted as, it's not budgeted, as bid as net, approved as net. I think it should be bid approved as gross, because I think this is not dissimilar accounting-wise to a grant. We just did the Stantec grant. You approved $400,000 knowing we're going to get $400,000 back. I think that's the best practice for this. But if you wish to approve the life insurance net, that... So as long as we're clear about that.
I think if you want to move to gross in the future, I think that the budget, Munis, I think all things should reflect the same accounting practice, not six of one, half a dozen the other.
Yeah, I mean, I actually preferred the gross piece because I think it's hard to track between finance and personnel and purchasing, but we can continue to do that if you prefer.
So if it makes sense for next budget cycle to do gross numbers so that we can say, okay, we're approving a gross number in the budget. So when we talk about it as a body to say, all right, we're anticipating giving this department spending authority of up to what we actually have here in this budget that's laid out on our tables in front of us. Now
you're going to have a problem because this is a three-year bid and you're talking about next year. So we're going to chase the problem in the opposite direction.
No, you just gross it up for 1 year.
Pardon?
Just gross it up for the 1 year in the budget.
Councilman,
we need to pick one or the other.
They're looking for a 3 year bid.
I understand.
It's a 3 year bid.
Keep it the same for 3 years.
Yeah, right. So for 3 years, I hear what you're saying. So if everything needs to talk the same language. We can't talk gross, net gross in four different areas. Just makes more sense to issue the spending authority for the actual amount that we had approved in the budget already. And like the chief said, we're not going back and changing the budget. So it really feels terrible for me, at least, to say, okay, we approved 57, but we're gonna now approve that you spend three times that. I think the rates are fantastic, and I'm not trying to take away from your work on that end. And I want that to be very clear. And I don't think any of my colleagues feel like those rates are bad. But I think we just need to approve what we already approved, not above and beyond.
Right. I mean, if you wish to approve this as net, that I think it's well documented for that. That was kind of my beef with it. I think it's very clear how this is budgeted for and paid for now. So
yeah, I'll leave that up to the chair.
So, Director, two questions. Was there, Councilman Foley, with all due respect, this bid package has over $3 million of taxpayer dollars in it. And if we need to spend a little more time on it, so be it.
Excuse me.
We can move.
Order, amend the point rules. Of order, Solicitor. The rules state we have 10 minutes. If you want more time, you
Got
need
it.
To make a motion.
Got it. And I'll be doing that if so needed. Was there any, this was a question for the finance director. was there any problem with the net way of doing this for the last 3 years?
We've made it work.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Was there any problems?
We've made it work.
Okay. Was there any stipulation from the insurance company that says you got to go from net to gross in order for us to guarantee the rates? Or were the rates guaranteed and how we implement it is up to us?
No.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions from members of the public? Please.
Thank you. Ann Sheridan, Ward 9. I think this is really a huge accounting issue. But so one of the questions is, am I not understanding that we might hire new firefighters this year? In addition, didn't we have a fire school going on that we're bringing on new firemen? And does these numbers account for any additional staff that could be coming in?
I'm not sure I heard the question. I'm sorry.
Does the amount of insurance cover any potential new staff coming into the city?
Well,
only the staff that's on the books today?
No, we're not calculating for new staff. I mean, but when staff come on, we do pay, but we're not projecting 20, 30, 40, 50 more people coming on. We just did it on the basis of our census in August.
So my other question is, when you issue a check to the insurance company, I'm assuming the check is based on, say, if you pay it monthly, it's 1/12 of the premium, right? And then in the accounting, you have an amount of funds that is for city employees, current city employees that get full paid part of their compensation package. The city pays for that. Then there's a second round of people where municipal police or fire can get extra insurance for their spouse or whoever, or for themselves. And then the third is the retirees that reimburse you for the insurance that they get. Do you account for each of those sections on the city's books? So you have separate GL numbers for each of those. So the money comes in and comes out.
The three accounts are... police life insurance, municipal life insurance, and firefighter life insurance. So we have three line items, yes.
So the line items pass in and out. So at the end of the year, the line items balance.
The two
balance, and there's one where the city's got to pay out directly. So there's one obligation for the city and two that just balance out.
We hope at the end of the fiscal year that they all come within budget.
I just think that the question could be simplified by general ledger accounts that just flow in and out so that you understand that at the end of the year, the police, the firemen that are retired that are reimbursing zero out, that they're reimbursing, that the police that are getting extra insurance are paying the extra insurance to the city so that you end up netting from a separate account that you can see and that they could present this to you. It's just too confusing. I'm sorry. It's fine. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Councilman Napa, to your point, if this were to be approved at what they're talking about now, $123,111 per year, that's a monthly payment of $10,259. If we go the way that was apparently testified to working okay, it would be $3,702 a month. So, yeah, I see the cash outlay big and the return. We don't know what the heck the return is going to be. It's all based upon what you get. Anyhow, I want to assign a PCR to this, and I believe it would be PCR 9925, Madam Clerk. Okay. Councilman Napa, would you entertain a motion? Or I can make a motion. It'd be, go ahead.
Could I recommend a motion to amend to the net spend rather than the gross?
Second.
Okay. Solicitor? Councilman Napa, it's your call.
Okay.
Move it to the
Make floor. A motion to move to the full council with no recommendation.
Second.
A second. Okay, we have a recommendation to move PCR 99-25 to the floor without a recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. At this time, we will adjourn the Finance Committee to entertain the business at hand. The time is 6:26. When we return, we'll be returning back to item 5, purchase 2026, no, I'm sorry, item 4, purchase 5 Chevy Blazers.
Would the Public Properties Committee please convene?
Affairs comes to order at 6:30 p.m. First up, acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on June 16, 2025. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Do we have a second?
Sal.
All right.
Oh, second.
Moved by Councilman Foley, seconded by Councilman DeLuise. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 4-0. Okay, we have 3 items on the agenda. We're just going to stick with the first one for now. First item, PCO 16-25, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, 3 Kids LLC applicant, 1112 West Shore Road, Assessor's Plat 333, Lot 103. This is sponsored by Councilman DeLuise. It is inside Ward 4. Do we have a recommendation to refer to the full council for public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The committee shall adjourn for now and pick up the remaining 2 items later. The time is 6:31. Thank you.
Mr. Sinapi.
Here.
Mr. DeLuise?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Kirby?
Yeah.
Mr. Lattisa?
Here.
Mr. Muno?
Here.
Mr. Napa?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
9 present.
The very well rested Councilman Napa can lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gay.
First up, general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for this? Seeing none. Oh, sorry, Councilman Gebhardt.
I just wanted to offer a moment of thanks to the city council, as well as to our other elected officials. Warwick Powell recently had their biggest fundraising effort of the year, and we had the support of the entire council as well as the entire Warwick delegation, and that means a lot, and it goes to exactly the kind of things that we should be supporting here, our youth and athletics and advancing the next generation. So I want to thank you all for your support.
Councilman Latsu.
Thank you, Mr. President. Congratulations on that. Good job, Councilman. I would like to ask for a moment of silence for one of our long-term employees of the city, also a friend, and that is for Ted Sano's brother, who recently passed away last week or so.
We all have a moment of silence, please. Does anyone have anything else for this item? All right, seeing none, next is presentation of findings and recommendations regarding the school department and its finances by the Warwick Public Schools Budget Commission, informational only. As a reminder, that means the public and the council may not ask any questions for, during, or after this presentation. However, I highly urge council members, if they do have additional questions besides what we've already submitted prior, please write them down and we'll get them to the commission afterwards. Whichever one you want.
Okay, we'll do it. Thank you, Council President and members of the committee. It's an honor to be here before you tonight. I'm here today as the chairman of the School Budget Oversight Commission.
Could you just state your name? I'm sorry, because some people only hear the audio.
Okay. My name is Ernie Almonte.
Thank you.
And I am the chairman of the School Budget Oversight Commission. I am here today with Sherry Kuntz, who's the vice chairman of the commission, and we're going to present information jointly, so in two different pieces. So I will start out with a few comments, and then we'll switch to the vice chairman, and then we'll answer all the questions that will relate to us. So if I could, just for a second, so I know it'll happen sooner or later, I have to put these glasses on now. First of all, I want to let you know we have five members of the commission and that worked on this since you created this commission. And I want everybody to know that besides just the time that we saw at our meetings, there were numerous hours on both meeting with people in the school department, meeting with each other, reviewing documents. There's a lot more than just what you saw. It was sort of like a duck that you see going smoothly, but the feet under the water are moving really fast. So we did a lot of work during this time. But I especially want to call out our vice chair, Sherry, and Angie, that worked on this commission, because the two of them put a tremendous amount of time into what we did here, and they deserve to be recognized separately for the work that they did. And I'm grateful to all the work that they invested and the time they put in. I want to talk about process. I can see why there was frustration as you moved forward in the past, because even with us, with the commission, there were several iterations of the budget that we received, constantly doing the work and getting new ones. And as we talk to you tonight about the reasons for those, you'll see that many of those will be corrected with the recommendations that we make to you tonight and that we make to the school committee. The first thing is I want to thank a few people. Sue Baker, the our clerk. I've worked a long time in government, over 30 years. I have to say, probably the best clerk I've ever worked with in my whole career. She is outstanding at the work she does, and she kept us on task and helped keep us in line with what we had to do. But I mean, truly outstanding, the best I've ever seen.
Lynn, your Treasurer and Finance Director, Mayor Bocosi, Council President, Councilman Lattisa and Muto, thank you very much for coming to our meetings and asking questions and keeping us on task as well. Chairman Galligan, a great opportunity to work with you and have a trust and respect in you as well. Superintendent McCaffrey, outstanding. The trust we had with each other, the collaboration, information that was shared, and the finance director, your new finance director, who to me is a star and a great find for all for the city of Warwick to have him here. I think if this trust and collaboration that worked with us carries over to you moving forward, this will be smooth sailing for the city as you move forward. But there's three other people that I think are really important that I want to recognize before we get into the numbers. Kayla Quirk, Yaman Rodriguez, and Kaylin Poley. The three of them work in the Warwick School Finance Department, and they're young professionals who did an outstanding job. And really want to say to you that if you think about this, this is a $200 million operation. They did work without a leader in there for almost over six months. A great task. And I've told them several times, and I'll say it to you, in my whole career, the things they learned in the last 6 months will probably benefit them for their whole career. They've seen things that people that would never see in their career, sometimes 20 years. They learn baptism by fire, how to handle a deficit situation, how to handle the finances. But the three of them, they're gonna go places. They did a really good job and wanna recognize that. I also wanna recognize New England Tech, because you wouldn't really know about this, but during this process, and I only found out about this by accident, there were two students that were going to New England Tech in the Running Start program, and it cost about $9,000 a piece. New England Tech, realizing that the city of Warwick was dealing with the deficit in the school system, waived the whole fee, $9,000 a piece, that's $18,000. And again, I found out about that by accident, but I think you all should know about it. That's a community leader stepping forward to help their community, and I thought it was a wonderful thing. There's one other thing, and I know my whole career, you never think in advance of action, but I talked to the CIO for the state of Rhode Island, and he will come down and spend time with the IT department to go through all the expenditures that they have to see if there's any way they can reduce those expenses or run more efficiently what they do, just sharing information, and outstanding that they're willing to do that. Now I'll talk to you about the budget, the numbers, and what you'll see is, as we went through this process, our commission, remember what the law said, that we couldn't touch anything that was payroll and payroll related, that was related to a contract, and we abided by that. But I just want to let you know publicly, like I said at our meetings, and we all feel, is that that really handcuffed us in doing our job. So we were working with a small percentage of the budget. The largest part of your budget is payroll and payroll related. Couldn't touch that, but we could touch all the other areas. We feel extremely confident in the numbers, all the other areas that we were asked to look at. The rigor we put involved, the documentation we reviewed, the questions that we posed, we feel completely confident with the numbers. So what I would tell you is right now, the deficit for the city is $2,181,388,000. That's the deficit for the school department based upon the budget that we recommended to you. So we went through all the other items. We found, just give me 1 second, just so I have the paper in front of me. What we did is we looked at the total expenditures, and our vice chair is going to go in more detail on these, but on a high level, $201,442,834.28. Keeping in mind that major portion of that was payroll and payroll related, which we couldn't touch, but that's the total, $201 million. After we deduct all the revenues that come in, either from the city, the state, or other miscellaneous areas, it leaves a shortfall of $2,181,388.28. A few things you need to know about that. There's a one-time savings from the insurance fund. They took $2 million, and we were fully supportive of this. Take $2 million from the insurance fund to offset the deficit. And But you have to remember that this is recurring expenses and you're using one-time money to do that. But it would be poor, it wouldn't be a good practice to fund that amount and have taxpayers pay for that amount when you have money sitting in a savings account. So it did make sense. Take this one-time money out of the insurance fund and offset part of those expenses. There's also $152,000 in opioid money, which the city used to pay for a school expenditure, which is a recurring item, but you wouldn't have recurring revenue. And we have to keep in mind that there's a deficit, the big one that caused all this to take place in fiscal 25, that we've heard, and we'll never know the exact number until the audit is done, is approximately $5 million. So you have deficits from 23 and 24, a total of 1.2 million, roughly, approximately 5 million from 25. Walking into this year, this would be another 2 million short. And then keep in mind that going forward to the 27 budget, you won't have the $2 million again from the insurance company to take out of the savings. And then we'll have to spread the $5 million deficit over 5 years. That's another million. So you're basically going to walk into year 27 with approximately $3,152,000 deficit before you even address payroll increases and things like that. So just to summarize, high level, and I'll turn over to Sherry, the vice chairman. High level, you have 23 and 24. 23 originally was a surplus, but when the audit was done in 24, I found out there was a mistake in 23, which turned 23 into a deficit. 24 was a deficit. Combined, that was approximately 1.2 million. 25, which the audit isn't done, will be approximately $5 million. We'll know for sure when the audit's done, which probably won't be until December 31st. And then this shortfall right here, approximately 2.2 million. And keep in mind, you don't have to deal with it today, but in the five-year plan, when we come back to you with a five-year plan, we're starting out 27, 3 million short in that year. So I'm gonna stop here. We have more to tell you about, but we're gonna stop there and turn it over to the vice chair to talk a little bit about the budget and process and findings. So, sure.
Thank you, Ernie. Good evening, Council President, members of the council, and members of the public. As Ernie said, my name is Sherry Kuntz, and I'm the vice chair of the commission. And I'm here this evening on behalf of the commission to provide an update on our work regarding the school department's finances and to share our observations and our recommendations. It's not an exclusive list. I just kind of pulled together the items that were of most concern and largely contributed. Over the past 5 months, the commission has worked diligently with the administration to review the school department's budget, financial practices, and long-term outlook, with our focus being on our goal. With our focus being on our goal throughout this process to provide an independent objective assessment that supports fiscal responsibility, strengthens transparency, and ensures that public resources are being managed in a way that best serves our community. It's important, I think, to recognize that the budget challenges that are facing the school department didn't arise overnight, and historical budget overruns are driven by several recurring factors. Rising personnel costs, unfunded mandates, the absence of timely and accurate financial data, a lack of strong financial oversight and financial skill, and decisions made without the benefit of reliable long-term forecasting. In some cases, short-term solutions have been used to close the gaps, but as we've seen, these approaches often defer the problem rather than resolve them. Just as these issues developed over time, they're not going to be corrected overnight. Strengthening internal controls, rebuilding fiscal discipline, and changing financial culture requires a sustained effort, leadership, and accountability. Our recommendations are designed to start that process by focusing on practical steps like strong written policies and procedures, routine reconciliations, clearer accountability for payroll and staffing changes, and standardized reporting. That's what we think will build a stronger financial foundation for the school department. With that being said, I'm going to share some of the high-level things that came out of our work so far. The biggest component and the biggest thing that we saw that contributed to this issue was a lack of internal controls. It's internal controls and strong internal controls. They're critical to organizations, school department included, because they help ensure accuracy and reliability in financial reporting. It's essential. That's essential for budgeting and decision making. They identify issues early, such as unexpected costs or discrepancies. That allows prompt, proactive management. You can make the change now instead of letting it spiral till the end of the year. They promote accountability across departments and staff. You have a clear policy in place. You can hold people accountable. You can say you're not going to do what's always been done because that's not the policy. And they protect public resources, and they build trust with the city council, the taxpayers, and the community. In short, internal controls provide the foundation for responsible financial management. In our review, we found that key areas such as payroll reconciliations, position control, and expenditure tracking do not have the level of oversight and documentation that best practices would require. This lack of structure increases the risk of mistakes, inefficiencies, and in the worst case, misuse of funds. Now I'd like to introduce an example to illustrate the impact of a lack of internal controls, but I want to reiterate something that the chairman said. We were not allowed to touch compensation or look at those numbers. However, when issues were brought to our attention, we were able to assess them and to make recommendations going forward to help ensure that those things do not happen in the future. So with that being said, discrepancies were identified by the finance director between HR and payroll listings, two separate listings from two separate departments that's supposed to list everybody who's being paid by the department, did not agree. And there were not concise discrepancies between the two. So it's not as if one were missing a set and the other. It was both ways. So the finance director spent a lot of time with his staff, I'm sure, reconciling those listings together. At the end of that process, that resulted in approximately $5 million in additional compensation and related expenses that needed to be added to the fiscal 26 budget. So just let that sit in. $5 million. That's a pretty big number. This made it clear to the commission that these listings had not been reconciled. So historically, there's been inaccurate data being used to prepare your budget. So it's no surprise that you've had overruns. You're not, it's the old adage, for lack of a better term, garbage in, garbage out. So just to further drive home that impact, if I haven't already, this one occurrence can have compensation-related expenditures being salaries, wages, and benefits. They make up roughly 80% of the department's budget. 80%. So without strong internal controls in this area and others, even small errors or inefficiencies can have a disproportionate impact on the overall budget, which is what we've seen. I want to be clear, these gaps are not a reflection of the dedication of the staff, but it's the systems in place that support them that are lacking. When internal controls are weak or missing, staff are left without the tools they need to manage public resources effectively and transparently. Our recommendation to that point was that the school department prioritize establishing and enforcing stronger internal controls. We provided them a list of policies that we think are best practice, and it's our understanding that they have already started implementing those recommendations. Next up, tracking of grant funding and related expenditures to also include personnel-related costs. The commission, in working throughout this process, we identified that grant funds and their related expenses are not or have not historically been properly tracked. So what happens with that, a large number of grant funds come with funded positions. So if you're not tracking who's hired under a grant fund, it's impossible to tell when that grant expires which positions are also going to expire. And what we've seen is that historically, grant-funded positions were often continued even as the grants approached term expiration without sufficient analysis by the administration to determine how to absorb these costs within the department's budget. This practice has two significant impacts. First, it creates unplanned financial obligations that constrain the general fund. And second, it reduces the school department's ability to make informed staffing and budget decisions. It's impossible to know where your general funds are being allocated if you can't parse out what's general fund and grant funded. Without clear tracking and timely analysis of grant funded positions, the risk of budgetary surprises increases. It's no surprise. To address this, the finance department has developed a detailed spreadsheet that they're going to be using as a central tracking tool so that everyone is aware of what a grant is, how much the award is for, when it expires, if it funds personnel, et cetera, and who those personnel are. Furthermore, the department has also implemented a policy that the finance director and superintendent must review and approve any grants and the use of matching funds. So that's accountability with respect to your grant-funded positions and grant funds in general, because it's not just personnel, there's other expenditures that are included under the grants. The last point I want to make for this high-level overview of the big issues is enhanced budget to actual reporting. Another area of concern identified by us was a lack of usable forecasting and analysis reports. Currently, the budget to actual reporting doesn't provide the level of detail needed for effective financial oversight or proactive decision making. Without timely and comprehensive data, it's extremely difficult to anticipate potential overages, to adjust unexpected costs, or to identify trends that could impact the department's fiscal health, and to identify them promptly, in the moment, not months later or at the end of the year when the audit's done and, oh, wow, we've got a deficit. We've mentioned it. I think I want to point out a lot of these policies we've recommended throughout the process. We do plan as a commission to have a formal list of policies that we will formally vote on to hold the department accountable. They have told us, and we feel confident that they have started implementing these, but we just felt it was a better layer of assurance, so to speak. So that being said, we recommend the budget to actual reports be updated regularly to include for each line item current year spending, prior year spending, and the amount remaining in that budget line item to have a clear reference to say, wait a second, we're getting close to what the approved budget was. We might want to look at our spending, not just, oh, we're on track with last year, because last year might have been a deficit. I do want to point out tracking and management of technology related expenditures. As Ernie touched on, having the chief information officer come out and take a look at technology expense would probably be a really good benefit, because we do spend a lot on technology. It's just the way of the world. It's the way of education. It just, you can't get around it. That being said, products are transitioning, so softwares now are becoming software as a service. You're paying a subscription for software that in prior years you probably have purchased with a one-time fee. As these softwares evolve and these subscriptions continue, there's opportunity for overlap. There's opportunity where one software might do something that two softwares do. So we recommend, and we spend a lot on technology subscriptions, a lot. I'm a Warwick resident, so I say we, but the schools. So as they continue to rise and softwares continue to change, we think it's a good idea to do in a deep audit of your subscriptions. Track usage. If something's not being used, if they're buying 100 subscriptions and they're not using all 100, reevaluate. So we do plan to recommend subscription management analysis and possibly an internal audit of all the subscriptions that that the schools are currently purchasing. So with that, I think turn it over to the chairman, and we can start addressing some of the questions, which I probably already addressed in this, but some of the questions that we received from some of the council members earlier this week.
Okay, thank you. If you don't already know, she's a Warwick resident, so you have a treasure right in your backyard that understands the stuff very well. It's a fabulous addition to this. I credit the school committee for naming her, because she is absolutely outstanding on this commission. A few things, the vice chair mentioned about things like payroll. If you think about the payroll piece and talked about the $5 million off, I talked about that earlier about those several iterations you have. We thought we were close to getting the numbers close to zero, and the next thing you know, you find out the payroll's off by $5 million. And I think it's important to know that certainly understand in a time of crisis, people are making decisions in a leadership position, but hiring outside contractors to do the work, and is about $60,000 outside contractors to come up with numbers that we're off by $5 million. You're better off not spending the money and let us find it on our own. But we wasted several weeks going through this number to find out that the numbers were wrong and the city had to pay that money. It would have been better off not spending that money. And I think it's need to say that. The Munis system, you should know that this is the accounting software, budgeting, payroll, all that information. The city side, the administrative side of the city uses Munis, and the school used something different. But they did sign a contract to work with Munis last year, which is wonderful. It's a real good system, and it'd be great that the two are working together. But you all should be very much aware that in the year 2025, the school department spent $260,000 on this and didn't use it. So it's $260,000 you pretty much just burned without getting any value whatsoever. But in 26, the number is about $340,000. And I know I did this without looking. So the first one was $260,000. This one's $340,000. But the good news is they've already started training. They're using this program. And I'm telling you, this will be a great addition to the school department in accountability, transparency, the information you get. But I thought you should know that the 262 got no value last year. That's a lot of money. And 340 this year, I think you're going to get great value out of it. There'll be some hiccups. There always is when you change software from one to another. There'll be some hiccups in that. But you should know that. And the vice chair mentioned about, we're going to talk about in our next meeting, which is this week on Wednesday, the possibility of having a performance audit. Remember, we couldn't touch the payroll and payroll-related issues, but strongly feel that there's an area that you should take a deeper dive into. So we're going to look at making a recommendation to have a performance audit done on a few things. In this way, we would apply the same rigor that we did on all the other expenses. That same rigor would be applied by an outside firm to come in, independent firm, to look at these areas. One would be class size, utilization of our buildings, redistricting, employee count related to a declining student population. So instead of having someone who this isn't their field, look at having a performance audit, people who are skilled in this area to take a look at this so all of you could walk away saying, hey, I had an independent body look in these areas. We're either doing well or we're not. Because we do see declining student population and the cost is going up. So everybody has a legitimate reason to ask a question, why would that be? One of the best ways you can find that out is by having this performance audit done. So we're going to discuss that at this week's meeting. And we would look for the city side to pay for the performance audit and don't know what it is yet because we didn't have a meeting, but that is something we really feel should take place. I'm gonna go back to you, Vice Chair, because there's more that we want to share with you.
So do you want me to go through the questions?
Yes, yeah. Please.
So I'm gonna start with Councilman Gebhardt's questions, and I hope I said your name correctly. So,
if I can, Vice Chair, just a quick thing. We thank you very much for sending those questions to us ahead of time as we ask, because you can ask us whatever you want, but we always felt we wanted to give you the answer, not an answer. And by giving it to us ahead of time, we were able to do some research to get you the answer to your question. So just want to make sure, as an auditor, we're both auditors. As auditors, we always want to make sure we give you an answer based on fact.
Okay, so the first question from Councilman Gebhardt was, did the commission look at any areas that were not within the scope of changes that could be made but are material to the school department budget? Were any personnel expenses reviewed? If so, what were the key observations? Well, I already touched on that with the internal control. That was a big one. So a couple other things that came up that weren't really related to reviewing those items, but were done on like a high level cursory approach. So the original budget, like one of the very first days of the commission, both one of the other commissioners and myself, Angie and I, we both looked at FICA and Medicare. And those are pretty easy amounts to recalculate pretty easily because they're standard rates, so 6.2% and 1.45. So individually, so we knew it was correct when we both brought it up to each other, we recalculated it and we saw that the amount that was included in the budget for those expenses were slightly higher than the standard rates, at coming in at 6.533% and 1.61. So I'm sorry, 6.61, my apologies. So we recommended that they look at these, our calculations, to see if our assumptions were correct. And the answer was yes, your assumptions are correct. And they reduced the 6.9 million in the budget for FICA and the 1.7 million for Medicare down to 6.8 and 1.6 million. So that was a pretty simple fix, just a math error. Nothing got cut, nothing got changed. It was just a recalc.
If I can, just to add to that, at this stage, what I'm here to do is provide color. Never thought an auditor would ever provide color to statements that were made, but I want to just get to look at this number. In this process, with a fine-tuned, fully functioning finance department, this would have been an easy find. We sat in a meeting and did a quick back-of-the-envelope calculation and realized it was off. That's how easy it is for people that are trained to look at these things. This never should have come to us off by that much money. So just want to make you aware of it. But remember, when we are talking about these things are prior to the current finance director that you have. Don't ever want the two to be crossed in this.
Oh, yes.
He's outstanding at what he does and was not responsible for that.
So one other item to note, to answer that question, we recommended that the finance department review the recent actuarial report for the WISE pension contribution, because I think there might have been some confusion along the way about having to put in a prior contribution. And it's known that when you have the actuarial report or calculation for the pension, it's an estimated contribution based on past events and where the plan sits today to keep it at a certain funded status. So we recommended that they look at that report that they pay for to determine what the estimated anticipated contribution would be for the pension at this point in time. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that reduced that number. But was it close to the million?
It was a little bit over a million.
Little bit over.
So what happened was there was conversation about making up those dollar amounts that were not contributed. But an actuary actually calculates that number to make sure you make up those numbers and spread it over time. So by asking the actuary to run the numbers and look at how do you make them whole again, even though you missed a few payments, they changed the dollar amount you have to put into the plan. And that's why we use that number based upon an independent body, an actuary telling us what the number should be, as opposed to people saying put an extra million in or an extra 750 in. Then that fund over time, based on the actuary, will be fully funded. There's not a chance that they'd be short, because as long as you make the annual contributions, you will. And those annual contributions were recalculated by the actuary. So we feel 100% confident in that number. That's in that budget.
So the next question was, one of the stated objectives was to compare per pupil costs to other like districts, and what were the core differences between us in Cranston, East Providence, others observed, and what can be done to bring us in line. So I did provide the council a presentation that RIDE had presented us, because they harvest all of the UCOA data from the district, so all of their accounting data, and there's a interactive website where you could drill down and learn way more than you've ever wanted to know about school district finances. But if you take a look at that, one of the things that stuck out was, and it's no surprise, the out of district spending to North Kingstown. Warwick spends $982,000 as of fiscal 24, which was most recent data available, in a total of $2.7 million on that printout. Cranston spends $45,000 of $772,000, and East Providence spends zero out of $232,000. The administration is well aware of the high costs that we spend to send kids to North Kingstown. It's kind of considered one of those unfunded mandates, because there's not really a whole lot that the district can do to stop it, or so they think. But I think one of the things that we have talked about is maybe it's a good idea for the district to analyze, why are so many kids going to North Kingstown? forget what they say, what's the real reason? And maybe if it's sports, we need to look at our sports programs and we need to maybe invest a little bit more in those programs to have those kids come back here and draw in some other kids so that instead of us spending the $982,000, we're getting the $982,000. It's that outside the box thinking that would probably really help, because at the end of the day, you can't, it's tough to tell the kids they can't go to the other districts for whatever program they're going for.
If I could, Vice Chair, just to jump in on this one. So this one's really important, where a lot of people frown upon if we use the words, if you run it like a business. But let's talk about if you run this like a business. Let's say, for example, which is true, you have seven girls from Warwick playing North Kingston soccer team. So they go to school there and you have to pay, let's say, $20,000 a piece for each one of those schools. Pay that to North Kingstown times seven is $140,000. If me, I'm running this like a business and it's the coach. Let's say we do a survey and we find out it's the coach. Well, as many people would get upset about it, I'd pay a coach $50,000 more than he's making to come here and get all of them to come back to school here, and you'd still save a lot of money. Or let's put it a different way. Let's say, let's use an example, Rhode Island College started a cybersecurity program. What if you started a CTE program on cybersecurity, partner with Rhode Island College, and maybe get kids from other towns coming to this city and paying you the fee to come here? And if, as long as that fee exceeds your cost, that's a good deal. But it's thinking differently. We can't do things the same way it's always been done. Let's start thinking a little bit differently how to reduce costs or increase revenues. So back to you.
So to further the CTE costs, so that's the cost just to pay to send the kids out of district, throughout our process and through our finance director and the administration and the work that they did, it was identified that we had historically been paying Warwick's per pupil rate, which is the tuition rate that's calculated by RIDE for every city and town in the state of Rhode Island, or any LEA, an educational agency, so not just cities and towns, but your charter schools and what have you. They calculate a per pupil expenditure rate, a per pupil rate for tuition. And Warwick's is quite high. I think it's about $24,000. Comparatively, North Kingstown's about $16,000. We had historically been paying our rate, the $24,000, to North Kingstown. The administration identified that there's actually legislation that clearly states that that rate should be the average of both the sending and receiving district. So that resulted in an adjustment to the budget for those students and a fix going forward, where now we're not sending more than we should to North Kingstown. And the cause of that is chalked up to a lack of controls. Nobody in the department before had identified that that legislation existed. So that's just a real eye-opener, I guess. So I think Mr. Councilman Lattisor's question was, what was an aha moment? That was one of them. So next on that list of per pupil expenditures was technology, which we already talked about, the software. So one thing I will point out, when you look at that RIDE pamphlet, it stuck out to the chairman and I immediately when we looked at that technology spend, about $1.8 million compared to, I think it was $500,000 for Cranston and maybe $400,000 for East Providence. That's significant. So that prompted us to immediately have a meeting with the administration to say, we're going to go through wants versus needs, because something's in here that might be a little bit outrageous. And in doing that, we identified the majority of them seem to be RIDE mandated subscriptions. And so the cause of that fluctuation seems to be partly classification differences. So where Warwick codes something might be different to where Cranston and East Providence, even though they're following UCOA, RIDE had made the comment that districts are doing the best they can. So we did go through that. And the results of that, we did, not us, but the administration identified a software totaling about $42,000 that was not really used and not many people liked it. So they agreed to cut that out. So that was a key takeaway from that data, saved $42,000.
So if I could, because the vice chair used a term, UCOA, and I'm not sure you all know what that is, but that's the Uniform Chart of Accounts. So that's so you could compare apples and apples if you compare one city to another city. That's the reason for that. I was the Auditor General at the time. We created UCOA, but I thought in case you're ever on Jeopardy, you would want to know what it meant. It's United, it's Uniform Chart of Accounts. And so you can compare apples to apples. And that's what we did here. But you also hear some people say that part of the reason why the cost is higher for the city of Warwick than some of these other cities is because they pay Social Security and others do not. But to me, you got to look a little deeper. That's why I think a performance audit would be a good idea. You have to look a little deeper because those other communities that don't pay Social Security tend to pay a higher salary to make up the difference. So you still should be comparing apples and apples. One did it with payroll, one did it with paying Social Security. So either way, they're both making up the difference in that.
You want to take the next question for Mr.
Only if you could tell me what it is.
Yeah.